the top of headlines at Rents. I've got the two most current stories about Fukushima here. Now, where else have you heard anything about this? You don't hear it. Rarely, if ever. And never from the EPA. Will that change with Trump? I don't know. We'll find out. There are two stories up there. There is a skull and crossed bones emblem above each. I would ask you to please read them. The headline of the first one, as we warned, mass die-off of sea life from California to Alaska. The animals are starving to death. The food chain has collapsed. No hope to stop it. Most of the radiation isn't even here yet. And every bit that comes over in the ocean or by air is continually piling up. It's concentrating. It's not, the half-life is huge. Second story, we told you so, Fukushima, radiation in most West Coast fish. Now, scientists said plume has spread from Alaska to California. Radiation now in U.S. food chain. Calling it a terrifying discovery. Read the stories. Please don't eat anything ever from the Pacific Ocean. If you can find anything, there's not much left out there. Here to talk to us about that, let's find out who's on board. We got Yoshi, I'm sure. Are you there, Yoshi?
Yes, I am. Pacific Northwest still.
Welcome back. Yeah.
Sitting around the USA watching the follies going
on. Oh, God.
Well.
Indeed.
While America is facing not only the sixth anniversary of Fukushima, but also, I believe, in about 2 years, there's going to be a massive second wave following the floods and earthquakes in Japan. So we're not over it yet. It's still going on.
You know, it's something that people just don't understand. They're not told. They're not taught, except if people come here. We do it every week. We do it all the time on the site.
Yeah.
You have been standing in the forefront. Dana Durnford, who has been putting his life on the line to document the fact that all life along the coast of British Columbia is either gone or barely hanging on. 6,000 plus species in every tide pool. There might be 10 species left. It's over. Now in Monterey, tide pools, gone, no life, dead. They look like they're on Venus or somewhere else with no life. Same thing in San Diego, Point Loma. The rocks and things look like they've been scrubbed with bleach. So nothing there. Dana, are you there tonight? Go.
I am.
Boom, boom. Boom. We you always come on like gangbusters. All right.
I have to fix that.
No, welcome back.
Yeah, hi, folks.
You saw these two stories I alluded to. It's interesting. Scientist, quote, felt like I was doing nothing but counting dead animals. That's what he was doing, because that's all there is. Basically, they're all dying. What does this mean? When the food chain breaks, it means no food for the animals in the ocean. They die. The food chain is irreparable. It begins to manifest on shore with death of birds, bugs, which, of course, are the food for birds. And that moves all the way across the country, as we've demonstrated with people writing in, telling us what they're noticing. So, yes, there are still some birds around. But, yes, they're in greatly diminished numbers in many areas. And it's going to get only worse. This is certainly an extinction event. Not total. Not yet. We're smart. We could probably survive this. But it is unquestionably an extinction event. Possibly manageable. I don't know the answer to this, though. We'll have to wait and see. Yoshi, what's your take on the situation now with all those spent fuel pools full of hundreds and hundreds of tons of radioactive spent fuel assemblies? That's sitting up there five stories off the ground at those destroyed nuclear plants.
Right. So there was talk, obviously, of getting into the spent fuel pool at number one, at reactor one at Fukushima, and then also the robots that were supposed to go into the reactor building, into the reactor itself. in reactor two. No progress out. Tokyo Electric Power has been silent. There's been no reporting. It's been a fairly wet winter in Japan. So situation not good. It just basically doesn't look good. There's not a peep coming out of Tokyo Electric. They're just not talking. I'm not sure if they even have a game plan right now.
I would think not, frankly.
It seems that all work on, they removed the top of reactor one to vent out the buildup of radioactivity in the air there. So we're basically getting nothing. And also, I think the other thing is, as the outgoing Obama administration in the USA, we're seeing not a comment on nuclear issues. We're seeing Indian Point, announcement that from Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, that the thing will be shut down finally after leaking into the Hudson River and affecting New York.
Right.
New York supply, the plant is just too old. But, the Department of Energy, EPA, these are federal organizations, and they're just really derelict. They're not saying anything. They're packing their bags. Thank God we've got a new EPA director who might give us a ray of hope, might be willing to listen. But, I think when we look back on the Obama administration, the events of 2011, when Lisa Jackson, she's a chemical engineer, she's a scientist, she was head of the EPA during Fukushima, personally went to California and ordered the disconnection and removal of radiation detectors. This has been just a terrible administration. Obama will be remembered for his absolute failure on nuclear policy, his alliance with General Electric, his clinging to the climate change theory when Fukushima was making havoc with the Antarctic, with the Pacific, with the North America. All of Asia now. And he tried to maintain a diversionary cover through this. A horrible record, and I really hope the Trump administration does everything it can to turn this around. We must get the truth first, and then we can come up with solutions.
Well, we've got truth. We've got the truth here. Dana, here's a story from the Press Democrat, actually Christmas Day. I'm going to pick it up in mid-sentence here. A symptom of widespread marine anomalies that have prevailed for the past 3 years, actually five, threatening everything from seabirds and sea lions to treasured catches such as salmon and abalone. Quote, the ocean is changing, said one glum crab fisherman aboard the vessel New Horizon. He said irregularity is starting to look like the new normal. Evidence of starvation in abalone populations prompted authorities to impose new restrictions in the sport abalone fishery in this year, 2017, to limit the catch. The commercial red urchin fishery is suffering as well. Meanwhile, the commercial salmon harvest, California's most valuable ocean fishery, continues to suffer profoundly, with spawning populations reduced significantly. Mass starvation events have hit a spectrum of other West Coast marine wildlife, mostly due to the collapse of food chains, which is what we've been saying for years and years. Dana, it's not looking good.
Yeah, you can see him out there saying global warming clobbers ocean life, other articles. And they're just going to lean into that one where they call it global warming. Oh, it's global warming, Dana, or whoever they're talking to. No one wants to address it. Everybody's terrified of saying radiation. There's no one out there will do it. And so if we don't do it, then nobody does it. So it's pretty dim, right?
Right.
When you can't get anybody anybody to listen to reason. And because of this, now no one's going to try to stop the reactors. No one's going to try to solve any of the issues. No one's going to go actually deal with the issue. They're just going to live in this fantasy for a little tiny bit longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, get this one here. Young orca found dead near Vancouver. Are the iconic mammals starving to death? J34, that's the name of the dead orca, becomes the fifth member of the J-pod to have died this year, reducing the pod's number to 25. The cause of J34's death is not known, but he was reported to have appeared noticeably thin during recent sightings. Also, the necropsy revealed signs of physical injury. The cause of death for the other four J-pod members was not determined because the bodies were not recovered. The animals simply vanished. But it appears as though southern residents as a whole are suffering from a slow starvation and death.
Yeah, Dave found that just 10 miles away from me or something.
Mm-hmm.
And all the Puget Sound killer whales, there was around 80 of them, 75 left. And then all the ones off the west coast in the last couple of weeks have been reported on. All of them are emaciated. Yeah. So that's game over. Like you say, we talk about before how the whales can eat halibut and tuna. They can eat each other. They can eat. And they do, right? They eat the seals and sea lions and everything else. So.
Well, the orcas should have. They should have no problem feeding themselves if there was any food to eat. The problem is the food that they eat, all kinds of it, has been collecting and accumulating radiation for years. So they're eating highly concentrated doses of radioactivity, and it's accumulating and killing them. No more food and radioactivity, and they're gone. They're done. I wouldn't be surprised if in a couple of years there are none left at all. None.
Yeah, they'll be gone this year. Everything will be gone.
You think this year, you know, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they're so emaciated, there's no way for them to make it.
Right.
And the ocean is dying, oxygen-wise, too. Yeah. And then it's just too warm, heated up 7 to 10 degrees in the last couple of years. It didn't, and everybody just keeps screaming global warming.
That's a total lie.
All hell's going to break loose.
Total lie.
All hell's going to break loose.
Yes, it will. The other story, Fukushima radiation contaminates West Coast fish. Fears the country's food chain is polluted. A terrifying discovery. And again, one scientist said, it appears the plume of death has spread throughout a vast area from Alaska to California. It's everything we've said and then some, and it has yet to reach even its maximum. And when it reaches its maximum, it's going to stay there for maybe hundreds of years. There'll be nothing left in this ocean, and it is already spreading to other areas of the world. The southern part of the Pacific is already showing signs. Strange die-offs off Chile already, and the damn government will not talk about it. It's deny, 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 and I'm so sick of it. Yoshi?
Yeah, I think, the orcas are magnificently built, high speed, very coordinated, intelligent, can communicate. So even if they were, if there is a shortage of fish, which there is, even if their diet is, you know, is marred by the radioactivity, they should still be able to hunt. But from my readings, I think you remember long ago in front of San Onofre, I diagnosed that these animals are suffering heart issues because of cesium in their hearts. But also, in an orca, something like an orca or a shark, the radioactivity in the water will greatly affect their sensory system. So their ability to smell, their prey, their eyesight, obviously burned down. You know, my eyesight was affected by Fukushima. Whenever you're in very wet conditions, a lot of radioactivity.
Uh-huh.
So, but with the orcas, it's constant exposure. So basically, their sensory systems are probably going down. They're probably half-blind, can't smell very well, so they can't target. So even if they're still strong, it'll be very, very hard for them to catch fish. Their maneuverability also, probably they need a sensory system, but also maybe that part of their brain function, nervous system, mm-hmm. is also affected. So this is a really a slow way and a really terrible way to kill these magnificent predators. Top of the food chain in the ocean. There are brothers, like the lions or the polar bears on the Arctic shelf. The top of the food chain is really affected now. And again, I try to emphasize that, mortality rates are going up in places like Hawaii. They were going down constantly for 15 years, 20 uh-huh. years. Now, just recently, since let's say about, and it's about, it took about 2 or 3 years for the effects to come in after Fukushima. Mortality rates are going up in Hawaii. So, terrible thing. And as far as the undersea killing, we see the destruction of the Great Barrier Reef, the coral bleaching, which would not happen just with less than 1 degree increase in sea temperatures.
Oh, no. Agreed. Sure.
But we've just seen a report from Japan, from Okinawa, south of Japan. Corals are like 70% bleached out. So radioactive salts. The coral, too, are small organisms, probably very vulnerable to radioactivity. And the abalone you see there, they're out of the water half the time, okay? But they're finally succumbing, too. So This is the general kill-off that we talk about, where everything's going to go. And unfortunately, we haven't mounted a single defense.
What are we doing? Alternative programs are we instituting?
Nothing. Not defense. Yeah, just denial, just sabotage.
Good luck eating denial sandwiches. Good luck.
Yeah, there won't be tuna sandwiches. It's from the Mediterranean now. I mean, everything is imported, but those areas will be affected too.
That's right.
And there'll be a world shortage. There's no doubt about it coming up.
There's going to be massive starvation on this planet like never seen before in the next 3, 4, 5 years. Yeah, I think it is.
It's definitely coming on, and I don't know when we really find out how shocking the radioactive, and they're going to have to shut down river systems, production there and whole areas will have to be production shut down, or it'll die off from the buildup of radioactive salts. We're going to see terrible crippling problems in the food chain, and that's the kind of global crisis. Wow. How do we deal with that?
Look, how do we even calculate it? Dana, the Pacific Ocean, the breadbasket for much of the civilized world, is now gone. And no one's talking about it except us. That's it. Nobody talks. So what are they going to eat? Where are they going to get the food? Where are the billions in Africa and the 2 billion in India and the Chinese and all of those people in sub-Saharan Africa who are continually on the verge of starvation? Where are they going to get their food? Where's it going to come from? The oceans are gone.
3 billion people are dependent upon it. So
3 billion people dependent upon the ocean for nutrition.
Each day, that are totally dependent upon that ocean.
Well, they're all going to start dying pretty soon if they can get anything to eat at all.
A country like Vietnam, when I fly over there, when I'm going across from Southeast Asia to the Chinese world, you can see these fleets of ships out there, squid ships, squid boats with all their lights on down below. It's like Christmas lights. But now they've had these huge washups of fish on their shores. They blame a steel plant, but as you know, I was a former steel worker. Southworks was right there on Lake Michigan. There were fish washing up once in a while, but that was more due to the nuclear plants that released huge amounts of hot water, and also a lot of that was sometimes contaminated with tritium and all. That was more responsible. The steel mills are really a negligible impact. You know, the steel heats up and it cools down. A lot of it just cools down in the atmosphere. So to blame a steel mill in Vietnam against the vastness of the Pacific, where the current flows pretty fast along those beaches, that's crazy. Fish were killed, millions and millions of fish were killed twice or three times already, killed off for some other reason. And it's because of radionucleotides coming down in the springtime from Japan down through the past the Philippines, hitting the shores of Vietnam. And so, no doubt about it, far distant places now, there's enough radioactivity building up, as with every season that a current comes in.
You know, this situation is so bad that it ought to be headline news in every major paper, every television program should be doing routine updates on this, and the blanket is thorough. There's 100% lid on this. And that tells you how bad it is. If it was a partial, if it wasn't so bad, you'd see momentary notices of it here and there, little special reports, maybe National Geographic or something would pop up with something. Nothing. And that tells you everything. It's that bad.
Well, some basic steps could have been done to, let's say, reduce the impact. For example, beach patrols would pick up those clumps of larger, older algae, which where bioaccumulation occurred, instead of leaving them on the beaches there, where the radioactivity drained back in. We could have had let's say, divers go down in protected, pretty good wetsuits, go down and pull up some of this kelp, and we can replace it with kelp on, lines and buoys or on nets and so on to try to absorb the radioactivity out there. So, let's say 5 or 6 years old, the kelp, those are the ones we would want to pull out to bioaccumulate, pull out. In the smaller plant, the younger kelp would have much less radioactive accumulation. So your right. fish, your mullet, your squids, therefore would have feed a lesser radioactive buildup, and
too late.
Hopefully they could reproduce.
It's all
they
too late.
They didn't do anything.
No, it's all
we're
too late.
We're going on year six. They did nothing.
No,
they didn't
it's
even clean
it's
the
done.
Beaches in many places.
No.
So this is really irritating. Just basic things that could have been done that were manageable by fishing right. game. But it wasn't done.
Let me please urge all of you again to go to the second banner at the top of Rents and click on that and read about biosuperfood, where it came from. It's the only thing that's readily available to all of us that can help mitigate the exposure and the accumulation of these radionuclides that are there. And the Japanese are still burning, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. It contains the plastic has to be burned, because that's their problem. And unfortunately, plastic is a fantastically great accumulator of radioactive. That's why they have to burn it. If plastic is not like a solid substance. It's sort of like a gel or something like that, a porous gel, which easily bonds with the radioactive compounds. I find higher levels in plastic than anything else, much higher than in wood, for example. So they have to collect this stuff because of the buildup, crush it, and then send it to these incineration plants. And it comes over.
Comes over here, friends, here. Yeah. Has this government lodged one complaint with the United Nations, for example, let alone the Japanese government? Hey, stop burning. We don't want your radiation. They've never stopped. It's going on 6 years. Crazy.
Well, the West Coast is really funny. Let me just make one point in that. It's got the concentration of, companies, Google, Amazon, so on. So we have the most educated population in the world.
You'd think.
They seem to be the biggest fools when it comes to the science of radio.
Biggest fools. Amen to that. Yeah. Back in
the
just a minute.
Most educated, but the biggest fools.
There you go. Back with Dana next and get a read on what's going on. If you've been along the coast, I'd like to hear what you're seeing there. Spring is coming here in another month or two. That's tourism time, vacation time. And we'll find out what Dana has to say in just a minute. Hold on.
Wait.
Okay, let's get right back to our third hour guests tonight, Yoshi and Dana. What's going on in BC? Now, tourism is huge there. Obviously, the talk of radiation, radioactivity is going to certainly impinge upon tourism just a little bit. What's going on up there? Are people just not talking about it? They've got to make a living. What's the springtime forecast look like?
This is Washington State, are you saying?
I'm talking about B.C. from Dana. What's he seeing up there?
Oh,
yeah, either
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dana.
Oh, B.C.
Okay.
Yeah, no, if you got a thought on it, Yoshi, go ahead.
No, B.C., British Columbia. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah,
Vancouver
B.C.
Vancouver region. Yeah.
This is a big tourism
British
season
Columbia.
Coming.
It sounded like B.C., but it's ski season there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, west coast of Canada for a lot of people, Pacific Ocean.
Sure.
And, Taurus was really about seeing that marine species, those tidal zones, because the tide goes down twice a day and, it's easier than getting on finding a boat and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So that was huge, yeah. And there's nothing, it's so boring on that coastline. 2017, I've been out on the ocean 5 trips, but. I basically ran dry. I haven't tried to raise any amount of money. I'm very grateful for the little things I do. Like we done lights and green screens recently, and that worked out. And it's all Bluetooth. But the coastline is so naked, I was out, you're still seeing some porpoise, you're still seeing the whales are still there, the bigger species, you'll still see some salmon out here, you probably still find some herring and squid along the coastline, and you might for another year or two, who knows for sure how that's going to play out. No one expected to see the carnage in 6 years that we saw. It was inconceivable that we would see the majority of species wiped out, and we documented that the whole coastline. And that it's impossible to ignore the cancers and the diabetes and the illnesses and the autoimmune deficiencies, Alzheimer's, dementia, autism, heart, liver, lung, respiratory, pituitary, adrenaline gland.
Great. Can you, Dana, I wanted, before I forget, if you run across anyone who is, and you must know zillions, a professional fisherman or fisherwoman, however it may be, working the boats, whether it be salmon, whether it be bottom fish, it doesn't matter. I'd be curious if we could get one or two of them on a program at some point in the future with you, just to talk about this.
I wonder about that sometimes myself, you know, what's going on with these people?
Yeah.
They don't, like, a lot of these people are in the global warming, right?
It's taking well, that's over their excuse, now. Isn't it?
Right.
They can go hide in,
yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, that's what's going on, basically.
Denial is global warming, right?
Like, I talked to so many fishermen, and lots of them have approached me when they stay.
What did they say?
On the coastline, some of them had said, asked me, did I think Fukushima had anything to do with the birds missing, or that the fish weren't puking up algae or krill and squid like they would normally do on the decks of their boats. And you know, there's all these rumors. Originally, when Fukushima happened, that was a real concern among the fishermen. They were actually concerned about it originally. And it got blown. All the apologists were to scream, and you'd be an idiot to think it's got something to do with Fukushima. Just like, they're at it so much. Their rhetoric, they don't go away. They don't stop. They don't give it up. They'll come out, and they'll just bash Fukushima, people who worry about radiation.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, why is there so many of them doing that, you know? And so, like, there's so many of these questions. Where we done the coastline, we documented it and put it up at the website. We showed the insects are gone, the birds are gone, the mammals, animals, and marine animals are all totally missing.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the whole coastline was stripped. And so then the repercussions for that is the death of the planet, basically.
And now I said extinction event. How far do you think it could go? How far? Are we going to see the deaths of maybe a billion people on this planet?
Yeah. The studies on the animals show the animals, because there are only one monodispersal inhalation, right, where we're eating it, breathing it, drinking it every day. And so like a dog's life is 7 years. There are one. All the dogs would die within 5 years. And so I was suspecting the next couple of years, 2 years, 3 years, we're going to see an event, and we're going to try to blame it on Ebola or something like this, a terrorist event.
Right.
But it's going to be because we all got the dose at the same time,
mm-hmm.
Right? North America did. So
yep.
I suspect that most of America and Canada will get wiped out in the very near future. There's nothing, and you can't change that by. But, I mean, like, we got supercell storms showing up, 200-mile-an-hour plus winds.
Yep.
Then we have these bizarre lack of oxygen going on. Like, there's so many things coming at us, and we
Yoshi,
can't have a conversation. Go ahead. Yeah,
Yoshi, what in the beginning, the first couple of years, we got a lot of really brave, courageous Japanese going out with Geiger counters, reporting on YouTube, the black mold and all these things were being shown, how children's playgrounds were contaminated in the outskirts of Tokyo. I guess it was Chiba.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of stories. No more. I don't see any. They're all shut down. Is that...
Well, humans, you know, have this weird ability to condition themselves to changes. You know, in other words, you know, maybe if you never saw snow in the Sahara Desert the first year, the first, second year, the kids would go crazy out there making snowmen, making snowball fights.
Sure.
But by the third or fourth year, it becomes normal. People stay indoors by the year and mm-hmm. say, oh, it's snowing mm-hmm. outside.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing has happened with radioactivity. Whereas, of course, the dramatic effects at the beginning, you couldn't help but see the sky started glittering. Okay, really weird sky. You saw the black stuff falling down, which was burned out pieces of fuel rods. You know,
actually, the radioactive fuel rods were blown out and spread over hundreds of square miles.
A lot of it went up in smoke and then came down in small particles, nanoparticles. You could taste it in the air.
Right.
You had the black molds come out. So all these were new phenomena. So the scrubbing went on to try to remove the worst of it. You know, the government had to remove the worst of it. But gradually, people sort of got used to the idea that it's not going to kill you right away. It's not like a nuclear bomb blast. It doesn't kill you right away. And so just a matter of time, and people are trying to eke out their hours, their days, their months, as much as they can.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, many of the problems never went away. A lot of schools couldn't reopen. Students wouldn't come back. The fish is still inedible. Fukushima fishermen go far out to sea to try to catch fish and then pack it in Fukushima. Whereas in the next provinces, you know, there are radioactive fish. They don't have to do inspections. That stuff gets out. There's been food scares, obviously. There's been food scares of, you know, rice and vegetables. But that's pretty much contained when the food co-ops stopped taking radiation measurement, radioactivity measurement.
Right.
And everyone, there's sort of a social conspiracy where everyone, if things appear to be normal, if we don't make a big fuss, if we all say, I think the British had something like this, when, you know, the V bombs were raining down. On London, you know, stiff upper lip, just carry on, right? Just carry on, right? That's what the British did. Pretend like this isn't happening. Pretend like this rocket isn't going to smash it.
Total denial, same thing.
Yeah. And so I think many of these very smaller societies are very capable of that. Well, I think America has the opposite problem, where there's not a lot of society. People are very much isolated from each other. And so the conditioning is, well, there's been some changes, but life goes on. You know, it's a different philosophy I see on the American West Coast. As long as the supermarkets, we can go there. As long as, you know, we have gasoline. As long as, you know.
As long as we have drugs. As long as we can party down. As long as we can go to the movies and whatever. Yeah. Rock concerts. Sure, that's all it is.
Well, they're much more isolated. You know, they'll get movies over Netflix or so at home. So they tend to retreat. They tend to, if you notice, there's a psychological retreat
going on. It's called
going
to ground, right?
Yeah. Going to ground, yes. Just carry on. Look at the micro things. Look at the flowers that are blooming. Don't look at the plants that don't come out, or plants that are weird looking that you have to destroy. So you destroy bags full of these weird plants that don't fruit or something, that, you know?
Right.
But you are so happy with a few, you know, lettuce or whatever is growing in your backyard, and, you know, that. And never mind the butterflies, the birds. Oh, you know, you can get by without noticing. Oh, maybe they're there when I'm inside, okay? Do you understand? This is an attitude of a very atomized society that copes with these disasters. And I think it's a great model. If you're interested in history of something like the Black Plague that hit Italy, you know, Europe in the 1300s.
Right.
How people just sort of froze. They didn't run off to the countryside. They stayed in towns as the bodies were piled up and you couldn't pass through the streets.
That's what they
did. You understand?
Yeah.
People got pinned down by the ordinary, the mundane, you know? Just, we will carry on, a few bodies in the street. Well, that becomes normal after a while. And it doesn't bother you.
Well, people get, they become desensitized to almost anything with repetition, yeah. Now, you want to talk a bit, you're going to try to go back to D.C., I think, in February?
Yeah, I hope to get to D.C. I was going to go to the inauguration, because that's a big news event for people in Asia. I could have sold the story in Hong Kong.
Right.
You know, in Malaysia and so on. But the fact that, as we discussed, there's no transport, the metros would be shut, a lot of roads would be shut. I'd have to walk miles from where I'm staying.
Quite
to
literally.
To get to the site and walk miles. Yeah, it would just be impossible. And then I knew the press center would be hopeless because the West Wing's too small. They moved the press center out of the White House. So I would just be watching, everyone there would be watching TV and getting press releases.
And reread.
And that's about it.
Sure. That just would be rewriting and rereading
their news. You watch C-SPAN. And so you go all the way there to watch C-SPAN.
That's exactly right. That's right.
They'll kick you out. They'll kick you out. And then you have to walk for 3 hours or so to get back to where you're going. And you also risk, you know, being assaulted by angry protesters.
Yeah.
You know, by these so-called Democrats, you know, these prisoners who've been given the right to vote or been franchised, you know, these and released from prison, flown into D.C., you know, and, you know, they'll be given top treatment, nice places to stay and all that, budgets and all that by the Soros organization and Democratic Party. So we have this crazy, crazy situation. It's never happened. I don't think it's happened in modern times where, you know, usually during a transition, the current administration would have its bureau chiefs, the, department, bureaus of the federal government, various offices, turn over the keys, show the incoming administration what to do, how it's done. But that hasn't been done. So the whole idea is we'll leave them a bunch of empty offices. We won't leave them passwords. Okay?
Oh, they're doing everything they possibly can to make it.
Will
make
be
this,
missing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
The National Guard.
It's going to take months to get past this for the government.
National Guard. She's the major general in charge of the National Guard.
Now, he was offered by the Trump people to stay on for 3 days.
Well, he said, I quit. Yeah. No,
exactly.
He said, I quit at midnight. I mean,
that's
I quit.
He said, I'm out of here.
At midnight, I walk. Yeah. So this is like a massive act of sabotage that, you know, prevents the world. In other words, it creates a gridlock where it prevents us, let's say, from advocating very on the importance of, let's say, dealing with the Fukushima crisis, having a strong EPA leader, developing some policies and solutions, which I had hoped we could do, right? And then also informing the public. There needs to be some system where all these people who are doing this let's pretend nothing is happening game actually get some helpful information, which only a federal government probably can do, considering the West Coast has all these Democratic Party governments, which are tied in with the pharmaceutical industry.
Oh, they're all going to... When they go down to the beach...
I don't know what the hell they do.
When they go down to the beach...
Yeah, useless
and
people. Yeah.
They inhale...
Absolutely useless,
yeah.
We have Eric Holder working for...
Yes.
The state of California, $2 million salary.
Yes.
That's insane. Why,
of course
why?
It is.
He's killed 100,000 Mexicans with his Fast and Furious gun program, mm-hmm. and then this very dominant Hispanic state inviting this mass murderer in?
Yeah.
Jerry Brown should hang his head in shame. Jerry Brown is a criminal. You know, he's not just Governor Moonbeam. He ends his career also as a total criminal by bringing Holder in, which is all delay tactics, which is preventing us from doing what the Trump administration, I believe, wants to do, is get the country back on track, to stop the neglect, address the pressing problems that have to be dealt with, the economy, with medical care, health care, and I suppose public health. You know, he's been very slow picking the people who will, let's say the Department of Energy chief, you know, so I think he's very serious about this, but, you know, not being able, all the sabotage comes with a great cost, and I'm afraid a lot of those people are going to regret what they did, you know, what they're going to do. They're going to regret this, but, you know, I'm sorry, we're not going to be there to help as much, you know, because they're trying to push us out of the game.
I honestly sense a growing tendency toward denial. I think as time goes by and the media continues to make this story invisible, the fewer people who really want, they don't want to hear it. They just don't. They don't want to hear it. And
the problem is, you know, they're so pervasive. Blame the Russians so far away. You know, they don't know a single Russian, right?
No.
Yeah. Something so that it's like blaming someone from another planet or something.
That's right.
This is enough for them. Blame the Russians. So we are going to the Cold War bomb shelter mentality, you know, and that's not unfortunately going to stop this nuclear war we call Fukushima. You know, that's not going to stop it.
No, it's not.
The other thing is pressure needs to be put on the Japanese government to store all that wastewater in tunnels, dig tunnels, you know, bore out some tunnels. And I've been an advocate of that. And Trump's got to come out hard while Shinzo Abe is still trying to be friendly with him. Say, you got to do this for us. You know, if you want to sell Toyotas here, you're going to have to store that water in Japan. You're not going to export water, radioactive water and radioactive air to us. I mean, it's very important.
That's early on. Incredible. Dana, final comment tonight from you. Are you... There's nothing, I hate to say this, but there's really nothing to be optimistic about here. This is just a bad story, and it's destined to get worse.
Yeah, well, it's going to get worse if there's not someone out there being talking and consoling people, telling the truth. And so if...
But even, let me be devil's advocate here. Even if people are told the truth, what are they going to do? When they go to their representative in government, and that person has been told, informed, well, no, we don't deal with Fukushima here. Sorry. That's the end of it.
They need to be told what to do, and so there's still a lot of work to be done. We need to, get rid of genetic modified critters, GMOs. We got to get rid of, we start planting organic food everywhere. We can start... all kinds of weird stuff like that, coming up with water filtration systems. It's like we got to get into a mindset of solutions, mm-hmm. not a mindset of being defeated, because that's where they led us. But that's not the well we want to drink from, for sure. No, good night for everybody. I haven't got much input tonight.
It's all right. Go get some rest.
You need some rest, Dana. And we're looking forward to when you're back in shape. It's cold up there, I guess. Cold and wet.
Yeah, been pretty rough. Hitting all the ocean as much as I can. But
take care of yourself.
It's a tough go. Hugs for everybody. Take care, folks.
Thanks, Dana.
Oh, thanks a lot, Dana. Yeah, thank you, Dana. So anyway, let's hope. Donald Trump's married to Melania. She lived through Chernobyl in her area, very close to us, Slovenia there.
Yeah.
So let's hope that personal experience of people to know the terrible effects, the destruction of herds, the ability not to eat your own food grown. I hope she brings, especially we talk about, Melania as sort of a beautiful appendage, but I think she could be quite a force here, combining
her. Well, every first lady supposedly adopts a cause. Why couldn't this be her cause? You make a good
Chernobyl
point.
Chernobyl and Fukushima.
You make a good point.
How we can respond. Just have forums. Get the honest people out there, the experts, the citizen scientists, and let's develop. What's about Dana? Bring Dana out there, okay? Invite him over and talk about filters and about how we can grow food more safely, the things we need. And then get me out there to just say, I've worked in Japan. We've got to put pressure on the Japanese government. There's going to be trade-offs. Fukushima, containing that contamination has got to be number one on the list.
Has to be. When you go back there, I'll do my best to get you press credentials. You've got your own worldwide, but we'll push here. You've got to, if you could just get to somebody, even at a mid-level, who would sit down and listen. I mean, you really ought to be talking
right now. There's a sort of bizarre, farcical, and tragic civil war going on right now in Washington. So we got to wait till people are ready, calm down, get back your senses, get back to work and deal with healing this country rather than ripping it apart. That's
Absolutely.
What we've got to aim for. But we can't do it right away because they've got to get their chollies out, I guess. This is their moment to show what fools and jerks they are.
Well, they certainly are that.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do except what we're doing, and that's all we can do.
Yeah, we are plodding on. I think we're okay. We're okay on our end. The rest of the world.
Well, let me also...
We are far out.
Remind everyone about Yoshi's brilliant series on Pizzagate. You can see that on the homepage and in his columnist box. And this is being read by people all around the world. You'll notice also
Pizzagate.
Go ahead.
Pizzagate number 10, the final one. I hope it's the final one. We'll be out soon. And it deals with the last mystery that Pizzagate took on that could not resolve. Pizzagate could not resolve it, but I found some other sources that give them a pretty good picture. And that's the Haiti situation, the Clinton Foundation, Bill Clinton in Haiti, Hillary's programs there.
Where billions of dollars were stolen. Yeah.
So much was stolen, and it threatened her own campaign. So she had to unplug her brother. Her brother... was working with a major gold mining operation there. Mm-hmm. So these all, and then Monica Peterson from the Human Trafficking Network out of the University of Denver, Corbell School, she died there. Okay, they said she committed suicide, but on November 13th, she died there. It remains a very sore point, but it shows the risks of yet another person like Sean Lucas, like Seth Rich,
right,
who got in the way.
Well, that was
of the
a young woman
machine.
Who was killed there.
Yeah, she was a young woman. She was just a researcher there, just graduated, so not yet in the doctoral program. She died in northeastern Haiti.
Yeah.
Going after the human trafficking, which, you know, was larger labor, cross-border, gangs, drugs, you know, all that stuff, and also children, you know, prostitution. Mm-hmm. So it was a mixed bag. So it wasn't a one-dimensional thing. But unfortunately, she ran into the Clinton cover-up and another casualty. So I don't think these people who are protesting need to look at the Clinton legacy, honestly, and all the victims of that, all good people, good idealistic people, who most of them Democrats, who were mowed down by that murderous political machine. And they should change their attitude to the future, that we need to work together now to solve these problems that were left to us by the Clinton and Obama and Bush administration.
Here's a funny one for everybody real quickly. An episode of the 1950s Western TV series Trackdown featured a snake oil salesman named Trump, 1950s, who promised to build a wall in order to prevent the end of the world. And this is a true story. In 2016, in November, a clip from the episode of this Western TV series, Trackdown, was published on YouTube, along with the claim that it had predicted Donald Trump. And it's true. How is
history
that?
Is bizarre.
Yeah,
there are aspects of prophecy that defy, you know, anything we
know. No coincidences, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of strange things that happen, and believe me, when you've been in journalism as long as I do, you know, you see the wildest, weirdest, improbable things that just turn,
your mind
around.
All right, when
reality is composed of.
When you get part 10 done, we'll get you on and we'll discuss it in detail.
Yeah, I got to get it on before the inauguration because it was a transition story. And by Friday, it will be Thursday night, midnight, it will be over, thank God. And we can move on to the next era of solutions rather than division. Okay?
Let's hope. All right. Thanks, Yoshi. Okay, that's our program for you tonight. Sorry we don't have better news about Fukushima, and I know it gets a little bit of a drag to hear it, but it's the truth, and you cannot reject that. You've got to embrace it. You've got to try and help others, and don't eat anything that's been exposed. Keep it simple. You say, well, it's just a little bit. It won't hurt me. Oh, yes, it will. Low-level radioactive exposure is something you don't want anything to do with. All right, remember, bio superfood every day. Talk to you tomorrow night. Take care.